The Houston Texans are making moves, everybody. They signed former Browns tight end Darren Fells, who can block. He's pretty good at blocking. Very good at blocking, in fact, some would say. This is somebody you bring in. You hope that he helps out your offensive line, which obviously has some issues. And maybe this spells the end for Ryan Griffin.
Seth, do you think it spells the end for Ryan Griffin?
I think there's a very good chance of that. They don't. But there's also not a guarantee that Fells is even on the roster in September. So I think you've got genuine competition right now. I don't think that Fells is such a great blocker that, hey, he's a slam dunk going to make you better. Like, make you a good running team all of a sudden. But he's better than the guys out there right now. So then that's, he improves your team. Is it enough? Does this keep them from drafting a rookie? I'm going to have to see what the contract is and how much guaranteed money they gave him, because I don't think it necessarily does.
I like the move. Go ahead.
To me, it feels like it's a competition between Griffin and Fells for that last spot. And I wonder who would win in the competition between the two, because it does seem like the organization likes Ryan Griffin a lot.
I actually feel like who wins that competition also depends on how well the now second-year tight ends will do. Because if they feel comfortable with Akins and Thomas in their development, then as long as Fells actually is a plus in the blocking game, it'll make them more confident in going with Fells and the two young guys as opposed to bringing back Ryan Griffin.
It's funny because now I can see from a coach's perspective and a GM's perspective why you might want a more physical training camp. Like, as a player, you think it's so dumb, and it is so stupid, some of the stuff they used to do, because it's just you're beating up on guys for 6 weeks before the season starts. That part of it's dumb, but to judge where young guys are and to bring them along in terms of blocking, like teaching them how to block in the running game and the passing game, it's hard to do in the modern training camp environment. And you kind of just got to hope that by Akins and Thomas showing that they mentally know what to do and in the limited reps they do get, that they show that you can trust them. And then if that's the case, Ryan Griffin would be gone, Fells would be in. Fells will have to adapt to this system and some of the things they do with their tight end. They move him around all over the place. But it's a genuine competition between him and Griffin.
Up next in headlines, the Texans also have shown interest in a couple of players that are available. Former Bills tackle Jordan Mills and former Raiders quarterback A.J. McCarron were brought in for interviews. And they, per Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle, are at the very least interested in 35-year-old free agent tackle Donald Penn, who was released by the Oakland Raiders after they signed Trent Brown.
Donald Penn is the guy I want them to sign because I think that he could provide a good one-year stopgap for them at the left tackle spot, or at least one of the tackle spots. I'd be fine with signing A.J. McCarron. I would have preferred Blake Bortles, but I like the idea that Brian Gain is looking to upgrade backup quarterback because they need to upgrade that spot.
The other thing that I like about Donald Penn, aside from just the fact that he's been a very productive player, is that he's a really good technician. Like, he's not a monster of a human being. He's not some 6'7", 330-pound dude with long arms, and that's not the reason he's been as good as he is. He's a 6'4", 305-pound guy, 315-pound guy that uses his hands really well, that uses his body positioning really well, which means that guys like that tend to play better on into their 30s, and he can be a good mentor for younger guys that need to learn how to play with all that technique too. He's been very, very steady and consistent throughout his career until at the end of 2017, he had that dreaded Liz Frank injury, which is supposed to be no big deal, but seemingly like was the end for Matt Schaub in a lot of ways. He didn't seem to come back from that real well and then tore his groin 4 or 5 games into last season. So the last year or so has not been good for him. The question would be, can you get him in? Can you actually work him out? Will he be willing to work out for teams and show you where he is physically right now?
You mentioned Blake Bortles just a moment ago. Blake Bortles is signing with the Los Angeles Rams. So he will be Jared Goff's backup in Los Angeles for the defending NFC champion Los Angeles Rams.
My dream has died. I lobbied starting last week for Blake Bortles to replace Brandon Whedon. Some people were very upset at me. I feel even more vindicated by the fact that the Rams, currently one of the best organizations in the NFL, signed Blake Bortles to back up Jared Goff. I would have preferred him here over McCarron if that's the way the Texans go with it.
Were there any reports that the Texans were actually interested in him?
Not that I saw.
None.
I think of Bill O'Brien, and I feel like he'd sign A.J. McCarron just so we could hear stories about Nick Saban. I feel like there's something about A.J. McCarron and the way he operates, which is much, much different than the way Blake Bortles operates. Yeah, it's the classic, you know what, if you took A.J. McCarron's moxie and intelligence and put it into Blake Bortles' body, you might have something there. But unfortunately, you do not have that.
If the Texans do sign Blake Bortles, excuse me, if the Texans sign A.J. McCarron, Bortles signed with the Rams, you would have a quarterback room that had by far the most national championships among any quarterback room in the NFL.
McCarron, culture, it's a culture move.
Yeah, McCarron's got three, Deshaun's got one. You have four championship rings in one quarterback room.
They should have nothing but national championship winners on the Texans. That's
why not?
All I want. College success. The old that's what Steve Spurrier tried to do.
He did.
Traded for Danny Werfel.
Yes.
That's the best trade the Texans ever made. We got Jerry DeLoach for Danny Werfel. We got an actual NFL player for a non-NFL player.
That was a great trade.
Yeah.
Danny Werfel, Florida Gator legend, shout out. The Denver Nuggets pulled even with the Golden State Warriors atop the Western Conference last night by beating the Boston Celtics 114-105. And since the Spurs won their ninth straight game, 111-105 over the Warriors, everyone is now even atop the Western Conference. The Rockets are in third place. They trail both teams by 3.5 games and will play rookie Trae Young and the Hawks tonight. The interesting note is that the Clippers, who are the 8th seed in the Western Conference and likely right now the 1-8 in the West, it is very unlikely to change. It is who is in the playoffs right now is likely going to make it. But the Clippers are only 3.5 games behind the Houston Rockets. So the West is very tight at the bottom and at the top as well now.
At this point, I'm prioritizing getting some rest for James Harden if they can possibly swing it, playing the back-to-back tonight.
Yes.
And tomorrow night in Memphis as well, with also figuring out the rotation as well with the addition of Daniel House this past weekend. Because I imagine in the playoffs, even though House hasn't been here for like, you know, 6 weeks, that he's going to be a guy who's going to play legitimate minutes in the postseason.
I'm not even as worried about Harden's neck specifically as I am his entire body. Like, I feel like this neck injury is a direct result probably from just being a little bit fatigued from that incredible stretch of play that he had when he had to put the whole team on his shoulders. And I feel like the neck will probably resolve itself over the next few weeks, but what else might pop up if you don't get some rest? It's not a matter of, you go back to the worst, it's almost like we don't even talk about the Spurs series anymore because nobody wants to think about it, but you can't have him wearing down by the end of a series like that. You've got Chris Paul now to keep it from happening, but we're not talking about beating the Spurs. We're talking about beating the Warriors.
And again, they have three games in the next 4 days. So you're looking at Atlanta tonight on the road, Memphis tomorrow, and back home for San Antonio on Friday. So
you shouldn't play any of those games except for against San Antonio.
So you would rest him the next two.
Oh, you're giving him complete rest.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Come on. At this point, stop thinking about the regular season. You are going to be somewhere in the Western Conference playoffs. Home court advantage does not matter a whole lot. Is it really that big of a deal to be playing at a crowd that's going to show up like 30 minutes late? Like, let's be honest, it's not. So how about you actually make sure you get there and that James Harden is as healthy as he possibly can be?
What about the MVP race? I know. Hey, Paul, don't. I'm with you. The MVP race doesn't matter.
Cannot be a factor.
Don't tell Harden.
I know.
Hopefully they didn't tell Harden about the flight to Atlanta and they just left him home.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Tuesday. Time now for Trainwreck Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Let's begin with Giants general manager Dave Gettleman, who did a conference call on Monday and was very supportive of his quarterback, Eli Manning.
If you were in my shoes, you'd say, you know what, there really is not. The way he finished the season and what he's making, there really wasn't a decision to make.
That's it?
Ooh, I think I got the wrong clip. I actually wanted the part where Dave Gettleman was discussing Eli Manning basically.
That was him saying that there wasn't a decision.
Eli is,
he's awesome. He's really, really good. No matter that.
He
couldn't get the ball to Eli, to Odell Beckham Jr. Apparently because it was Odell Beckham Jr.'s fault. It's not true. Like if you watch Eli, he's just not the same guy anymore and he hasn't been for a couple of years. I don't know what they're doing up there in New York, how they're deluding themselves and thinking that there's some, what are they going to capture with Eli Manning this year? This is like a 3-year-long retirement tour. I don't get it.
The money clip was Gettleman saying the idea that Eli was overpaid and finished was a crock. That's what he said. That was a crock. That was exactly what I wanted.
Well, it's true. I mean, the Giants let their two best players go. And I understand that there's maybe a full-on rebuild going on right now. And maybe Eli Manning for another season allows you to mask the fact that you were about to be openly tanking. But This is a Giants team that is now turning itself into a run-first attack with Eli Manning as their quarterback. That says all you need to know about Eli Manning. He is overpaid.
By the way, has Dave Gettleman always worn those tinted sunglasses? Those tinted glasses?
It's not a good look.
It's a very, like...
Are those transitions? Remember those commercials?
He's kind of got a mob boss feel to him, doesn't he? He's just kind of like, you're not going to be seeing your friend Odell Beckham Jr. anymore. We took care of it. I don't like the whole vibe I'm getting from Gettleman.
Jeff Van Gundy on ESPN the other day, since the Rockets were crushing the Timberwolves, took the opportunity to rave about a Texas institution.
All you non-Texans that are riding along with us are going to get to witness the greatness of Buc-ee's. The greatest pit stop, supersized gas station known to man.
Why? Elaborate, at least let people know why it's
cleanliness, great food, cheap gas, everything. It's genius. Buc-ee's is taking over from the panhandle through Texas. I love Buc-ee's. I love Buc-ee's.
I'll tell you, if it's not good, you're never going to live it down. You know that, right?
No, but see, there's closed-minded people like Mark, and I ain't going to give it a chance. But, like, Buc-ee's, he was trying to compare it to 7-Eleven. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Foul out on the perimeter by Taj Gibson. First foul in the last 2 minutes on Minnesota.
Listen, I will take a drive for an hour and 45 minutes just to go to Buc-ee's. I'll turn around and come right back home to Houston. It's that good. And if there were other Texans sitting here, they'd be saying amen.
My favorite part of that is the shot that he takes at Mark Jackson, who I would, of course, expect to think that Buc-ee's is a 7-Eleven, because I think everything Mark Jackson says is wrong.
Mark Jackson doing his in-depth analysis of how 7-Eleven somehow compares to Buc-ee's. That's
hand
exactly
down, man down.
No, Mark Jackson would leave subtle hints as to how he actually helped create the greatness that is Buc-ee's. Like, I put a little suggestion there 20 years ago before Steve Kerr came in and made Buc-ee's as awesome as it is.
Ouch. I thought that Jeff laid out the case for Buc-ee's very well on national TV.
Who is his co-host there? It was Dave Pasch. Oh, that's Dave Pasch. Dave, you're never going to live this down if it's not as great as that. What are you talking about, Dave Pasch? how are you accusing him of lying to you about Buc-ee's? You think Jeff Van Gundy's just going to start going off about some random convenience store? Of course it's. I've never seen anything like it. The size, the immensity of these things. I've been all over this country. There isn't a place like Buc-ee's. I've driven through.
You've driven everywhere.
At least 35 states. And I'm gonna tell you this. West Virginia has the sneakiest, best, like, state rest areas, like on the road, like the state run rest areas. They're very picturesque, very nice. If you're gonna get assaulted and abducted by a hillbilly, it's better to do it in one of those gas stations in West Virginia because they're nice. But then the Buc-ee's, there's nothing else like them anywhere.
Agreed.
Glorious toilets.
Up next in Trainwreck Tuesday.
No, he didn't mention the cleanliness of the bathrooms.
The bathrooms are the best part.
Yeah, he
sort of referenced at the beginning, but not in detail.
He also claimed that somehow he would leave Houston to go find a Buc-ee's 150 miles away.
That was hyperbolic. Yeah.
That'd be only like if all the Buc-ee's in Houston were out for some reason.
Listen, Jeff, you're on a broadcast with Dave Pasch, who has some very noteworthy horrible takes on science. I feel like you only need to say the bare minimum when it comes to how good Buc-ee's
Dave
is.
Dave Pasch thinks that the dinosaurs used Buc-ee's.
Tom Coughlin introducing...
It was like 350 years ago that the dinosaurs walked this earth.
Tom Coughlin introducing his new quarterback, Slushies. Nick Foles, last week.
Yesterday, March 13th, 2019, launched the start of the new league year. This is a new day, and we charge ahead. This signing today signals change and a new start for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I am proud to introduce Nick and Tori Foles to you and the Jacksonville community today. Nick is the right person, the right quarterback for our team and our community.
The way Tom Coughlin talks about it actually makes me feel less confident about Nick Foles succeeding
in
Jacksonville.
We're going to charge into the future.
Stop that.
He's an orator. He wants to be. It just brings back such memories of sitting through training camp, trying like hell because you've been hydrating all day. you're trying not to pee your pants because you can't get up in the middle of a Coughlin meeting, but it's 45 minutes of him giving you like these inspirational speeches like that about the value of hard work. And the only thing you're doing the entire time is like, I got to pee so bad. I got to pee so bad. I got to pee. One of his biggest, that voice, it brought me back to one of the things he liked to do was the night before a game, talk about how I'll close my eyes and I'll be able to hear whether the intensity is there by how the helmets crash. And you kind of be like, well, coach, if your eyes are closed, how are you going to tell that we're the ones doing the hitting? I guess it doesn't make
good
any
point.
Sense, coach. Yeah.
One more, Trainwreck Tuesday. The GM of the Buffalo Bills is Brandon Bean. Some people were criticizing the city of Buffalo after the Antonio Brown trade did not go down, and he was very defensive about his team and his city.
That pissed me off, to be candid, because it was an ignorant comment or whatever. And I don't, you know, I'm not on social media, but if you live in Buffalo or you know anything about Buffalo, I mean, don't speak about Buffalo if you don't know what this city and what this fan base is like. I mean, it really pissed me off. And because it's not true. And when you talk to players, and it was not, how many guys flowed through here today? 8, 9, whatever. And we could have had more. We didn't have that narrative. It was total started with a bad rumor on the whole Antonio Brown thing. People looking for reasons, and they didn't have all the facts. And again, people that have been here, I can't tell you how many players commented, this is amazing, this is awesome, what a facility, what a place, what a culture, all that stuff that we have going here. And, you know, this city is, you know, we love it. And all I'm going to say is anybody that says that doesn't know Buffalo and really is just speaking out of ignorance.
Ooh. Great fan base. Ugh. He's not selling me on Buffalo.
Well, there are some points to be made for Buffalo. Now, our friend Ross Tucker, who will be joining us again next football season,
which we look forward to,
he played for Buffalo. He said that Buffalo was his favorite place that he played. He played for like 5 or 6 different teams, and he says he has other people that feel the same way. I would say this about Buffalo. I think it's one of those places that, like, you choose to live there when you're ready to settle down with your family for the same reasons that you hated it when you were a young man. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're like, if you want to be a place where there's a vibe and it's pulsing and everything, then that might not be it. But when you want to settle down, it might be time for that. But it is also, it's one of the cloudiest places in the country.
No sun.
Western New York is a very, very cloudy place.
Freezing.
Cloudier than Seattle. So you need, it takes some adjusting, especially for the people from the south. It's not the cold, it's the gray that gets you.
Is it cloudier than here with a giant smoke plume?
As all three of us are hacking up various colors.
I'm not gonna lie, I feel like crap right now. Like my throat, I feel like I'm feeling the effects of the plume.
Well, we're in the middle of a pretty bad bout of allergens too. So
we are.
Like, I don't know. I'm driving on the Beltway yesterday, and I had just watched the news, and they were saying, "Well, don't worry, the smoke plume is not going to go below 400 feet." I'm driving along the Beltway looking at the thing off in the distance, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can see tendrils of smoke going down to
this
the earth.
Be healthy.
I'm watching planes on the flight path into Hobby look like they're flying right through the damn thing. I don't think they were. I couldn't tell. I think Hobby is south of where the smoke plume was, but this can't be good.
I was looking at KPRC yesterday. They were trying to ask, like, hey, what's the air pollution levels right now? And the person that was in charge of, I guess, the closest sensors are like, oh, they're not working.
they're not working
right now. Yeah, because it's a horrible problem.
Where are we right now? Are we supposed to be saying all is well? Somebody give us an update.